Nice catch, Andrew. Well done. I have some good news today. God is at work through the church. And just so that you know this is good news, I want you to know that you are the church. That means that God is at work through you. In fact, I'm confident that God is working in you right now to shape and form you into the image of Christ through the Holy Spirit at work in you. But today's message is actually about the work that God is doing through you. So if you're wondering, what is my purpose? Or how can God possibly use me? Then I hope you find this as good news, because the good news is actually for you as well. Just as Katie shared in the kids' message, the good news is for you. So I'm breaking the rules of preaching today, and I am going to give you the application here at the beginning of the message instead of at the end. So it's going to be in the form of a question, but before I do that, I want you to focus on this for the next 20 minutes. In other words, yes, I'm going to try to keep this to 20 minutes. In fact, I am keeping myself accountable because I've asked Colton to let me know when 15 minutes are up, when I have 5 minutes left. So 5 minutes left. Shout that out to me, Colton. There you go. So when you hear that, he's supposed to say that. It's okay. All right, 5 minutes left. So here's the application question. Are you ready? This is what I want you to think about. Am I standing in the way of good news? Am I standing in the way of the good news? So here's what we're doing here at Bethlehem Church. Over the past 7 weeks, we have been going through the books of Luke and Acts, written by the author Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And today we are in the third section of the book of Acts, in chapters 9 through 12. So as we are going through these two books, we come across this section. At the end of the book of Acts, the last section, in the book of Acts, we read this. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. So in other words, the church is growing by the work of the Holy Spirit in the believers. So this is the summary of this phase of how the good news has been moving out from its roots in Jewish believers in Jerusalem, and then it begins to go into other areas and finally into Greek-speaking areas, a whole new language group. So the gospel, the good news, is on the move. And then something unexpected takes place. We just heard it in the reading today. There's a conversion of this guy named Cornelius. He is a God-fearing Roman centurion and a Gentile. Simply means he's not a Jew. And the framework for what is to come is now being set as this Gentile mission begins to move forward. And it's what the rest of the book of Acts is all about. So that word, Gentile, it's important. It means everyone who is not Jewish. So until Cornelius, the good news has only gone to Jewish believers, some traditional and then some Greek-speaking Jewish believers, but only there. But now the gospel is about to cross this red line for Jewish missionaries. In other words, it's about to go to the Gentiles. This is not Peter's idea. This is not actually the church's idea. This is God's idea. So with this man's story, Cornelius, the stage is set for the theme of this message, which is this: the good news is for everyone. Say that again. The good news is for everyone. Today, the good news message we read in this passage came from the Apostle Peter. He was the premier Jewish believer, and he was the church leader who was directed by God's Holy Spirit to go beyond his comfort zone, to go beyond his people, and deliver this message to a new audience. So this is unprecedented, really, as we begin to read this. I can't even tell how big this is as we read the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit has gone before Peter to this Gentile Cornelius, and he told him, "Get Peter, because he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." Good news. Go get Peter. He's got good news for you. So that sounds like some really good news. The problem is, It wasn't how things were done. Have you ever heard that phrase? That's not how we do it here. We've never done it that way before. I hope you don't hear it here at Bethlehem Church, but it is actually a common phrase, whether it's in an organization or sometimes in churches and religious organizations. It can be a very common phrase, maybe stated in different ways. And the reason is that we hear that probably because it causes change. It means that there's going to be change. And why is change so hard? Well, there's a few reasons. I used to think I liked change. And then the pandemic hit. I don't like change. So we like how things are. Maybe that's why we don't like change. Maybe we're comfortable the way it is. Or we don't know how new things are going to work out. So we push back a little. We resist. Not sure. Or maybe change means that you and I have to learn how to do things differently. And that can cause problems because we know it's going to take extra work. It's going to take extra time. And let's face it, we're all busy. None of us have extra time. So we don't want to change. But the biggest reason that change is difficult is because it comes with, for every one of us, with real loss. When things change, you lose something. You lose maybe familiarity of the way things were, even if that familiar that you were clinging to was painful. Change brings new pain. You might lose a sense of direction and sometimes the connections that you have as part of that structure or system that is the way it is now. Sometimes it means loss of authority or sense of purpose as you begin to realize that maybe the things that you have been doing are not really bearing fruit as like they used to, or maybe not even at all. Or maybe we resist change because we know that it brings loss of the things that we cherish. Sometimes change actually forces us to acknowledge that what we cherished actually no longer exists. And we have to come to terms with that and face that reality. And that's hard. Sometimes we just don't understand change, and so we fear it. We don't like what we don't know. And when it comes to the church and the things that have given you and I joy and community and connection and a sense of God's presence and activity and even our own purpose in life, the idea of changing or shifting or making that different can be not just unsettling, but it can be scary for us. But I think we can all agree, though we may not like change, the world is changing. And to share the good news with a changing world means that sometimes, even though the message is the same, we have to keep changing in order to be missionally on target. And that mission is the good news. And the good news is for everyone. So the church must follow the Holy Spirit wherever and however the Holy Spirit is leading. And that is actually going to mean for us change. And just to be crystal clear, when I'm talking about the church changing, who is the church? I'm talking about you and I shifting. So by nature, the church is always on the move. And that kind of living mission means we're always following the Holy Spirit. So here's a good place to ask our application question again. This is what I want you again to be processing as we're going through this. Am I standing in the way of the good news? Am I hindering this good news from going to everyone? God might be trying to be doing something in you this week. He might be trying to shape and mold you in a new way for his mission. He wants you to experience community with others in the church. The Lord wants you to know the joy of being aligned and receiving God's kingdom and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And especially God wants you to be an evangelistic church that God has called you to be part of, meaning a church that goes out with the message. The church, in other words, you and I, are God's plan for the world. We're it. The church is the hope of the world. And through the church, the world hears the good news. So through you and me, the world hears the good news. And the church, who is the church? And who is the church for? It's for everyone. That's a good place to stop and turn to somebody beside you and tell them the church is for everyone. Really? Everyone? That's something that I'm commending our junior high kids for this week. Because we started this fall with a group of students, 14. So far now, as of last week, we have 18. That means they have grown their junior high youth group by 25% over the first couple of months. Why do they do that? Because the good news is for everyone. They know that. They share that with their friends. They want them to be part of what's going on. And so they are. The Lord is adding to our number daily. Those who are being saved. That's good news. It really is. They get it. The good news is for everyone. So let's go to our passage today in Acts 11. All of chapter 10 has been dealing with this same story of Cornelius and Peter. And before it gets done in this section, it's repeated three times. So part of what I'm doing in this series of how to read the Bible is teaching us to pay attention to a few things when we're reading Scripture. And one of those things is when you hear something repeated over and over again, pay attention, because that means it's important. In historical language and literature, repeating it over and over is highlighting it and saying, you need to know this, you need to get this. So this story has been repeated three times. So I'm going to outline this section quickly for the purpose kind of showing you what's happening here, and then what the author's doing, and then its importance, and then we'll unpack it. So first, there's a problem. The church, so far, has been a Jewish church. It's resisted changing into Gentile believers being reached without accepting first Judaism and going through that whole work. And believe me, it's a whole lot more than going through a new member class. So if you've gone through a new member class, good job, way to go. We're talking about a whole lot more. Second, God miraculously brings believers into the church and shows his approval. God does this, not Peter. God's at work. And third, Luke shows how Peter, the leader of the Jerusalem apostles, is the person God uses to open that door. And then finally, the church in Jerusalem ultimately accepts this conversion of Gentiles because God does. God accepts them. In chapter 11, the apostle in Jerusalem tell Peter, we have a problem. So we're going to go to the passage in chapter 11, verse 1. The apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So, verse 2, you didn't hear this. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, in other words, the Jewish believers, criticized him and said, you went into the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with them. In other words, a Gentile. You went into their house. You can't do that. What's the problem? Well, because Judaism has all these strict codes in which they are to live, it's expected that anyone who follows Judaism and then follows Jesus, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, then they would have to follow all these codes. And the Gentiles don't do that. So the Jews are not supposed to associate with them. They're supposed to keep separate. So what's the deeper issue? The New Jerusalem church is going to get in trouble with a Jewish nation now because they have had run-ins with them. They've had arrests. This is not something that happens. This is not how they do it. So here's a sidebar. I think it's important. This is difficult. You and I are constantly, we have to constantly be asking ourselves, are we following the Holy Spirit or are we following human beings? And that's a difficult question at times, because sometimes God speaks through human beings, and it's God's idea given to us through others. And we need to test whether that lines up with the Scripture. We must ask, where is it written? How does Scripture inform us? And then be careful and be clear that we are following where God is leading, where the Holy Spirit is reaching out. So in our passage, there's this law and ceremonial code that speaks of Jewish separation in a pagan world. The Jews were to be a distinct people. We get that. Part of their distinctness was a witness to their God, and they were supposed to then lead people to God. Now we have a Jewish Messiah who comes on the scene, Jesus, and the goal is still the same, to point people to Jesus. So Simeon the prophet, he said when Jesus was a baby that he would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. And Luke records in his gospel Jesus' words to two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus after he had risen. He said, this is what was written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to who? all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And God is fulfilling that prophecy by choosing Cornelius, this God-fearing Gentile, and his household to be the first to see the light to the Gentiles. And Peter tells the story to the apostles in Jerusalem about how this good news is for everyone. In other words, this is how it happened. So starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance. I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts and reptiles and birds, and then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill, eat." And I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever touched my mouth." So the voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. How many times?
Three
times. That means it's important. And then it was all pulled up into heaven again. So Peter makes it clear that this Gentile mission thing wasn't his idea. It came from God. Peter didn't want to go. In fact, he understood that he wasn't supposed to go as a devout Jew. But God showed him through a vision and a voice from heaven. In the Levitical law, book of Leviticus, chapter 11, it makes a distinction between... What? Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm in trouble. All right. Yeah, there we go. He makes a distinction between clean and unclean animals in here because they're all mixed up. And God says in a voice to, you know, kill and eat. He says, "I can't do that. They're all mixed up. They're not separated. They're not distinct." And God says, you know, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clear, pure." In other words, in this whole batch here, now it's clean. For him, that's got to be mind-boggling. And so then he says, "Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers, also Jews, went with me and entered the house of the man." So they're at Cornelius' house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in the house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." So it is the Spirit through these encounters that is orchestrating this event. And he says, "Make no distinction. Instead, go to Cornelius, go to the Gentile's house and share the message, the good news." So Peter did it. And he shares the same thing that he shared with the Jewish believers, the same message, except there's a different outcome. When he concluded saying, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one who God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name." So God takes the initiative in transforming hearts. And people, while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on these Gentile believers. And the significance of that is that that's exactly what happened to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit fell on him. So the same sign, the same miracle, the same outpouring of the Spirit is now falling on those that were thought to be excluded from the kingdom of God. But no, the good news is for who?
Everyone,
including all of the Gentiles. And so Peter says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came, and then I remembered what Jesus said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could stand in the way of the gospel?" Who was I to think I could stand in the way of the gospel? I'm going to wrap this up. Do I still have time? Colton? All right. Who am I? Who are you to stand in the way of what God is doing? We are called to obedience to the Holy Spirit, to share the good news of the gospel with everyone. Is that difficult? Oh, yeah. Is it hard? Absolutely. Is that going to cause issues and problems and things that we don't really know how it's going to work out? Oh, for sure. Is that going to cause change? Mm-hmm. Is that going to cause loss? Mm-hmm. And pain? Yeah. And joy. And community. And fellowship. And life. And salvation. and the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, and the church growing and sharing its witness, and the good news will go out to everyone. So sometimes we just really need to get out of the way, because the good news truly is for everyone. So this week, as you're pondering and thinking, ask yourself this question again and again, and invite the Holy Spirit to give you a clear answer. Am I standing in the way of the good news? And if so, Lord, how do I change? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good news. Thank you that you have counted us worthy to hear it, and have put your Spirit within us that we can receive it. And Lord, that you fill us with your Spirit so we can walk it out in our lives, to begin to learn what it means to walk in obedience to you and to be the good news and to share the good news with the world around us. Lord, as we do, continue to shape us, mold us, change us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus, by your Spirit. And Lord, help us to get out of the way so that the good news can go forward in us and through us. To your glory, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.